on folks. How many folks went out today? Who went out in the street? Stand up. Tony, come and tell us how what it felt to do that. Just come, man. Just tell us how it felt. You know, what did it mean to you? What did it do for you?
All right, I was really scared. And early this morning, Early this morning, number one, I'm ex-Marine. Well, I am a Marine, but I was in the whatever. That doesn't matter. And I was up here praying. You know, we had a prayer before we went out. And I asked Jesus, you know, for strength. And the thing, there's two things that we do is do or die, okay? Do, you got to kill, maim, or do whatever. Die, if you don't do that, you're going to die. So, because when we were up here, I was getting psyched. You know, it's almost going into battle, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get him. I'm going, oh, yeah. You know? So I said, there was another little voice going, no, don't say do or die. Do or let them die. So it's either do it or let them die. So I brought that out there, and I was cooking. I mean, I sat in the front of the car. I mean, I want to attack everybody. I want to scoop them all up. But so that's how it felt.
That's what I asked him, and that's what he told us. It's amazing, amazing. Now, I don't know if you were here last night. Who was here last night? Who had the privilege of watching Tony get prayed for last night? Who heard the privilege of Tony got prayed for last night? Even with a catcher, his head hit the floor so loud. He had a catcher, and I still heard as his head hit the deck. It's very important for you to grasp the reality of what he's saying. He's been in the Marine Corps for 7.5 years and been to Iraq and Fallujah and all that, and then put first words out of his mouth. I was scared. See, the thing is, it's got nothing to do with fear. It's got everything to do with the fact that your fear is irrelevant. It's not do or die, it's do or they'll die. So it's very important for us to grasp these things. Praise hallelujah. I really don't feel like preaching tonight, not one iota. I might share a word, but there's something, thank you, Jesus. Somebody else got a testimony?
Today I went out witnessing for the second time, and it was amazing. I actually ran into 3 of my old guy friends, and I wasn't received very well telling them that I was very into the church, and I was there witnessing. And it's just like, it was a breakthrough for me that I could go to people that I previously knew before I got saved and relate to them and try to share Christ with them, and it was just an amazing experience.
Good. Well done. Thank you. Wonderful Jesus. Let's just look in the scripture a bit. We're going to just go whatever. Let's go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Don't worry, you guys aren't finished yet. It's a story that Paul was imprisoned. You may remember he was, as usual, falsely accused, and he was arrested and taken to Caesarea to see the king, King Agrippa, and Festus. And Festus, wasn't he one of the Adams family? Yeah, I thought he was. Anyway. He'd probably do pretty good in this church. If he came in here, probably nobody would notice him, wouldn't he? If Uncle Festus. Anyway, it's not the point. Send a couple of lookalikes in there already. And so here he is, and he was arrested, like I am right now. That's what I've been waiting for. Come on, let's all do that. Yeah, that's what we're going to see. Give that guy a medal. See what happens in Andy? You know why God shuts up every now and then, eh? So beginning verse 12, Paul says, "While I was thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both.'" Somebody say both.
Both.
Everybody say both.
Both.
"Both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you." Does everybody know the word witness is the same as the word martyr? Maybe you don't all know that, and maybe I should stop and just mention that. You know, when Jesus... The light's going out. Oh, it must be me, eh? I told you I didn't want to preach tonight. No? Put them up bright. I'm struggling as it is. If you're a witness of the resurrection, that means you are a martyr to the resurrection. Are you listening to me? So think about this. You know that, what's it called, New Hampshire? These guys used to live in New Hampshire. You probably saw their license plates. It says, "Live free or die." Which, of course, is a contradiction. It's the wrong way around. It should be die and live free. Because until you die, you can't live free. Until you're dead, until you understand you are crucified, as long as you still think there's some kind of process that's left of your mortification, you're never going to be free. The reason why you have any fear or your unbelief, it's rooted in a lack of understanding that you're dead. Dead people have no fear. Dead people have no unbelief. They're dead. So really, for want of a better word, fear and unbelief is rooted in ignorance. You don't know you're dead. You think you're still alive, but you're not. You're dead. Any of you heard Mike preached here? Mike Petzl was preached four times. Will you two stop kissing in the back row, please? I have to get the camera on there. When Mike Petzl was here, remember we talked about Colossians chapter 3 when it says, "You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So therefore, we don't actually have a life. So I just want to encourage you, when you're talking about witness, remember it's talking about martyrdom. Verse 17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, the power of Satan to God." From the power of Satan to God. "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. I want to encourage you a little bit about repentance. I very rarely ever heard, gee, what is going on? Somebody put something in my tea. Is that what it is? Hallelujah. I love the word. All you folks, all of us who are now going to be part of evangelism, evangelism is who we are. It's who we are. If you haven't been out yet, I'm going to say this. Yeah. You're beginning to get out of the will of God. You're beginning to miss God. This is a church where evangelism is just as much part of it as the praise and worship. And so it's going to be very uncomfortable after a while, if you like. I said it last night. You don't have to be the hero. You don't have to be, you know. But if, as long as you go along with these guys and girls who have broken out of this fear, this bondage of fear, and go with them, like I said last night, let Peter go and let John go alongside. And John, sooner or later, gets the hang of how to do it. Or maybe you just need to hit the deck harder like Tony did and knock some sense out of you. Out of you. I really want to encourage you to think about these things. It's who we are. Kingsfire International is going to be a church that is going to be every day. It's going to be who we are. We're not going to plan these things. It's just at the moment. How many went out today, Brian, roughly? 20. About 20 young people went out today to do this. And that's still a small percentage for the size of the church. We're still only talking about a 10% here. But we need to just make it part anyway. I have no idea. I thank God that I don't care either. Whew, repentance. Let me tell you about repentance quick. Repentance is not turning from your sin. Repentance is turning to God. Amen. It's a huge difference. And if you miss that, the church has never preached it. The church always preaches that repentance is this ugly thing. I mean, let's face it. How many Christians ever hear the word repent and feel good? They hear the word repent and feel bad because that's how it's been presented to us. But it isn't. It's a good word. It's a good word. I'm going to find it. I've got to find it. I think it's in chapter 20. Praise hallelujah. See if I can find it. Stop muttering on the front row, will you? I'm busy. Here it is. Somebody say Acts 20:20. It says, "And now I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see that? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you keep examining every one of your sins and every one of your problems, you'll never let go of it. This is why the more you look at what you keep doing wrong, the worse you're going to be. You need to have repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And that needs to be the message that goes out of here. The people can have faith in God. And that it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Let's get back to 26. Hallelujah. There's something I want to say here. Verse 22, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer, that he would be first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Americans. Now, as that's what it says, and as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul! You are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I wish to God that not only would you, but also all who hear me might become both, almost, and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. So my question to you tonight is, are you persuaded or almost persuaded? Being almost persuaded is not being persuaded at all. If you're only almost persuaded, one of the reasons why revivals struggle and why they struggle to break through is people are almost persuaded that it includes you. We come to revivals, we watch things happen, we watch people lay hands on people and fly all over the room, and when they land and crash and you go, oh, I wonder if I should do that or shall I just stay glued in my chair? We see people laughing around the floor and we think, oh, when's that ever going to happen to me? I tell you why it doesn't happen to you is because you're almost persuaded it's for everybody. But you are not almost and altogether persuaded like I am. Hallelujah. Many times when you want to come up for healing and you go back feeling the same way that you came, is the reason you didn't get healed is because you were almost persuaded that Jesus was going to do it for you, but you were not almost and altogether persuaded, so you didn't get your healing. The reason why there's such a shortage of people serving God these days is because people are almost persuaded that there's a call of God upon their life and they don't believe it. You've heard my testimony many times. The day after I got born again, November the 4th, 1978, the next day, I looked up into the heavens and I said to Wendy, I don't understand this, but somebody up there loves me and I'm going to serve him. And from that day to this, I've done nothing else but serve God. You see, because from the very beginning, like we just saw Tony, that even though he's only just recently given his life to the Lord, just recently had the impact of the power of the Holy Ghost hit him last night, that today he went out because he is more than almost persuaded that that is what Christians do. And the good thing is he's not in a church where people had to tell him he's got to wait before he can be used by God. You can be used by God as soon as you believe you can be used by God. But if you're only almost persuaded, you're going to sit in a chair for the rest of your life. You have to make a decision. Every time you think you're not good enough to serve God, you are looking Jesus Christ in the eye and saying, you were not good enough, that your sacrifice wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to get rid of my sin. It wasn't enough to get rid of my fear. It wasn't enough to get rid of my insecurity. If you aren't serving God with everything that was inside of you, you are treading the blood of Jesus underfoot. And that's something that we got to deal with. Almost persuaded. You all know, and we all know, one of the reasons why we don't serve God the way we believe we could serve God is either you think you're not good enough, but we know, Mike Pence has been here all week saying, nobody's good enough. Paul the Apostle's not good enough. Billy Graham's not good enough. T.D. Jakes is not good enough. The Pope is not good enough. Nobody's not good enough. I'm not good enough. We are all broken vessels. Can you say amen? But thanks be to God who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I serve God because of what Jesus did, not because Vaughan is so good. But for some reason, I believed it at the beginning. I wasn't almost persuaded. I was almost and altogether persuaded. That's the difference. Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi when what happened? He asked the people, who do you say that I am? And you know, you can think what you like. We all do the same. Every day we look at Jesus and the question comes up, who is he? Is he your Lord? Is he your King? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your provider? Is he your comforter? Is he the lifter of your head? And if you say no to any of that, then you are not declaring him as the Messiah. Come on, somebody, get a hold of that one. You're declaring him as something less. You're saying, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. Yeah, maybe he's my Savior, but that's about it. Come on, folks, this is not a Baptist church. Hallelujah. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, and we believe that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if you aren't receiving it, it's because you are still almost persuaded. So there they were. Who do you say that I am? When he said, you're the Messiah, man. You are the answer to thousands of years of people trying to get a hold of God. You are the answer to Father Abraham, to Father Isaac, to Father Jacob. You are the answer to the 12 tribes. You are the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. You are the one that raised up Moses, a murderer, to lead them out. You are the one that raised up a slave like Joshua and Caleb to move into millions of people into a land of promise. You are the one that used the murderer David and made him king of Israel and brought peace to the land. You are the one that used any prophet or priest or king or queen to make a difference in this world, and you are the Messiah, and you can use me. Hallelujah. And until you get a hold of that, you are calling Jesus a liar. So we need to do this, folks. We need to get this. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Oh, mate, look what it says. I love this bit in the Message. Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon. Hallelujah. Do you know what Simon means? It means to hear. Blessed are you, hearer. Faith comes by hearing. And Simon heard God. He heard God, and every single one of us can hear God. But I tell you what, there's too much noise going on for you to hear it, but that's not the point. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock in which I put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth and heaven, a yes on earth and a yes in heaven, a no on earth and a no in heaven. That's what happens when you hear from God yourself. When you hear from God, you are more than almost persuaded. Mike said one thing that really interested me when he said that we are healed in the going. We are healed in the going. And so many miracles happen that way. In fact, talking about a healing in the going, it happened this morning with this young lady. Come tell us about it.
When we decided to go out to evangelize, Brian was deciding what teams to fit up together, and we said, maybe friends shouldn't be together on the teams, because probably me and Kristen, we would just sort of hang out in the corner and chat, you know, and then we wouldn't even get any work done. So he did. He split us up, And so my team went down to the car show at the Strand, and one of the first cars that we had come upon was the same car that I drive, only I don't know how many thousands of dollars they spent on this car, but it was the potential my car could have if I had thousands of dollars to spend. It just caught me. I had to stop. I had to stand there. And the owner of the car wasn't there, but the gentleman next to it was. And I said, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I see under the hood of his car is a picture of his son. And he had just passed away in April. He died in a motorcycle accident. And so as he's talking and I'm listening, and I know I'm supposed to pray for him now. It couldn't be more obvious. But I'm waiting for that opening. And he smells like a brewery, so it's obvious how he's dealing with the pain. So it's pretty obvious what I need to pray to him about. So I'm waiting, and all of a sudden Kristen comes up behind me. She hugs me from behind, and she's like, I dated that boy. 5 months ago, she was dating the boy whose picture was there who had just died 2 months ago. So even though we were separated, the Lord once again brought us back together to get some work done. And so,
and I looked at Cher, and she knew. She didn't know right away who exactly that was, but 5 months ago, something had happened between me and him, and I hated him to the point where I wanted him dead. 2 weeks later, he was dead. And I held a... Something happened between him and I to the point where I just hated him so much, and I wanted him dead. 2 weeks later, he was dead. My anger killed somebody. And the amount that I held into him, I hated guys, basically, and I hated God because God was a guy. And I knew to that point, like, when I looked at Cher, when she was over there talking to him, like, I knew who he was, but I was like, I am not going over there, because I still held that into me, and I thought I had forgiven him, but then I realized, you know what, I have to do this, because I'm not going to have another chance to do this, because it's there, it's I have the chance now to forgive this person while his dad going over there. So I walked over by Cher, and we got in a conversation, and we were talking, and I ended up praying for him, and through praying for his father, I was able to look at that picture on that car and not want to rip it up. And the picture that I actually took of his son was sitting on the car right in front of me, and I didn't want to rip it up and throw it out. I just felt this burning compassion inside of me that I've never felt before. And because I know he wasn't saved, he is not going to heaven, I didn't think I was ever going to be able to forgive him. And through that, I'm able to forgive him. And myself.
Praise God. The beautiful part of that story is this dealt with the hate in her heart. It's too late for the other guy. But this still, see, the going healed her. Yeah. It's the going that heals you. Go your way and sin no more. It's the going that delivers you. It's the going that sets you free. The reason why we don't go and we can't go is because we either can't afford it or we're fearful, same thing. We have so many things in our lives that we are almost persuaded about. So many things. And we've got another testimony tonight about, this one's provision in the going. James.
All right, well, I don't know about you guys, but I thought about 20 minutes ago, this man standing next to me said he wasn't going to preach. What just happened? Anyway, sorry, I decided to say that. Anyway. Now, last night when I gave my testimony, at the end, there's three words that I should have ended that with. It should have been to be continued till tomorrow night. Okay, six words. Anyway, to be continued. Today, I go to work. Now, I told you guys that, you know, I picked up a couple side jobs, and I told the Lord a long time ago that, you know, once I came to Christ, that all my side work, all that money was going into his kingdom. That money wasn't going to be mine unless, of course, I wasn't working and, you know, I needed to pay, you know, worldly things. But otherwise, my side work goes into his kingdom. So I got a couple side jobs. I'm like, great, I'll be able to go to Africa. You know, I'll be able to get my plane ticket and things like that. Well, I go to work today, and my boss comes up to me and goes, so you're still leaving to go to Africa, right? I said, yeah. He goes, have you got your plane ticket paid for yet? I said, no, I got, you know, like half the money now. I said, but I'm going to, you know, be waiting upon my couple of sites, the houses that I got through your friend to be able to pay off the rest of it. He goes, no, you don't. My boss today handed me $1,650 to pay for my ticket to go to Africa and serve our God.
He didn't get that provision today. If you've been coming to these revival meetings, you heard him several weeks ago talk about what he was going to do for God. He said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how God's going to provide, but my wife and I and three children are going to serve God in Africa. Does anybody remember that? You see, and the thing was, at that moment, he wasn't almost persuaded. He was almost and altogether persuaded that God was going to make a way. Not only did he give him a good job, he gave him two side jobs. And that wasn't enough, because there is a God that does exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And God made a way where there was no way, and gave him that money. Can you say amen? Can you say, I believe? If there's one thing we are a church that eliminates your rotten, lousy, stinking, carnal, unbelieving, fear-filled excuses. That was a mouthful. I quite like that one. A gentleman came to a night and said, I need you to pray for my family. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to pray for his family. It's not my job. It's his unbelief, not mine. Come on, somebody, grab that one. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that the Bible says when the Philippian jailer just witnessed an earthquake, he witnessed an earthquake, Paul was arrested and beaten, thrown in jail. And then him and his buddy, Silas, wasn't it? Him and Silas, about midnight, decided, well, hey, this is the best opportunity we've had to be depressed. Boy, all those people, those poor Americans, never been beaten in their life, never starved to death, never been imprisoned. We are such a self-pity nation, guys. Come on. We are so full of self-pity. So full of poor me. And you know, guys like me, we can't tolerate it. I've been around too much. You know, I've been in 72 countries. So therefore, when I've seen what suffering is, trust me, I'm going to say this, hear it loud and clear. Poverty in America is a choice. Now, if you are poor, stick around. Because you won't be long. Because we'll teach you how to get out of that trap. We'll teach you how to get out of that lie. We'll teach you how to refute that work of Satan, because it is not God's glory for you to be poor. Can you say amen? You think God gets glory from your poverty? Does that glorify God? Why do you think when they carried the Ark of the Covenant that the Ark was gold on the outside and gold on the inside? The gold on the inside representing the new birth, the new creation that's inside of us, and the gold on the outside showing the provision of God, that wherever the word goes, the provision goes with it. Can you say amen? Amen. So there's something lacking. It's the word. It's the word. My people perish from a lack of knowledge. People argue and they're always talking about money. I know we are. This is America. We always talk about money. It's our favorite subject, remember? It is. It's our favorite subject. We're always every day asking how much. How many of you go shopping and you look for something? What's the first thing you do? Price tag. When you're in a place where you never have to look at a price tag, then you haven't actually dealt with your poverty mentality yet. Think about that. Yeah, I go to Marshall's. I go to the clearance rack, which is why I'm not broke, of course, but that's another story. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Thank God Paul didn't have time to lead him down the Roman road. I don't know if it was because the earthquake, the place was still shaking. I don't know if he was so hungry and his back was sore. He thought, maybe if I just give him the quick version, we can get out of here. Hallelujah. But all he said was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's our message. That's our message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But he didn't end there, thank God. It says right there in Acts 16, 32, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. Now the thing is, the only thing that's stopping your household from getting saved is your unbelief. It's a promise of God. It's something that the Messiah said would happen for you. And now we have to be the one that take that promise of God. Are we reading it in the Bible or hearing it from heaven? If you're only reading it in the Bible, you need to work on it. You need to take that word. You need to meditate on that word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved. And my household? Sure. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved. And my household. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved. And my household. See, that's how it begins to sink in. How many remember you were here the other night, some of you, when I preached about we've received a more sure word of prophecy and you would do well to take heed as to a light that shines in a dark place. When? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. That word morning star is phosphorus. You see, once you get that phosphorus, you are no longer almost persuaded. You are almost and altogether persuaded. And that's the key. That's the key. Take it in your heart. Take it in your spirit. Just don't get analysis paralysis. Just get the word of God and read it. And when you have a need, then focus on the promise of God that supplies your needs. And then as you begin to meditate on it and believe it and speak it, even though you see it afar off, you need to be persuaded of it, embrace it, and confess the word of God. It's what works. It's what happens. There's too many people are almost persuaded. Thank you, Jesus. What other promises of God are there? I wrote a couple down, but probably forgot why they are. Hallelujah. What's everybody's need? Well, I tell you what one of the biggest needs are, I've noticed among Christians, is they're miserable. Is they're miserable. And why don't you trade your sorrows? I mean, it was such a good opening song. I'm trading my sorrows. Huh? I'm trading my shame. Shame, there's a classic. God, how many Christians have got shame? How many Christians are ashamed of what you've done in the past? You know why? You haven't repented towards God. You're trying to repent of your shame. The more you look at your shame, the worse it gets. Right? How did Jacob become rich? How did he do it? By sticking something in front of the goats, and the goats became what they looked at. Why do you think the scripture says, when you see him, you will be like him? Why do you think the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world? But we don't believe it. You know why? One of the things, you got to say this. One of the things is you'd really hang around with some stinking lousy company. Really lousy company. You cannot have fellowship with unbelievers. You can minister to them, and most of you aren't strong enough yet. I remember what it was like as a kid when you decide you're going to quit smoking. Remember, I got saved at 29 years old. And all the times I try to quit smoking. So what? I go to the pub and sit around with everyone smokes. And I'm trying to quit smoking. And we can't figure this out. It's like what's missing? It's so stupid, man. It's amazing many of us can breathe. Listen, I've got some advice for some of your old friends. Dump them. ditch them. Just dump them. That's all there is to it. Until you are twice as strong as you need to be, and then go back and minister to them, not fellowship with them. Because there is no fellowship between Belial and Christ. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. And the scripture is very clear. Nowhere does it say good company affects bad habits. It says the other way around. Bad company affects good habits. Dump your friends, folks. Is there any part of that you don't understand? I'll make it clear. Dump them. Stop it. Just stop it. Say, but I've known them all my life. No, you haven't. You only just got born again. So you haven't known them all your life. So just stop it. Bad company is ridiculous. You know what bad company does? Bad company promotes unbelief. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Wait a minute. Don't I know you? You are Mary's boy, the oldest son. I remember you. Yeah, and you, what? You come to, you? Yeah, right, yeah. You see, some of you, do you know, I want to tell you a story. I'm not proud of this, but I don't care. The blood's cleansed out of my conscience. I would say 14 years before I realized I was a nice guy. 14 years. I remember the night. I remember where I was standing in the barn. I remember who was there. I remember how much I shouted and yelled and screamed that I suddenly got a revelation I was a nice guy. But from that day to this, it's been very, very good that so many repeatedly have reminded me that I'm not. And that's why sometimes you're so glad when the company's not around anymore. I want to tell you, folks, you will not get set free with bad company. You won't get set free. So do yourself a favor, dump them. Hallelujah. All right, I'm just going to try and wrap this up. We need to pray for people. I've got a few more scriptures here, but we'll just... praise God. Can we please... My buddy, Pastor, you know him, Ephiel. He was here a few weeks ago. I remember I had a conversation with Pastor Ephiel a few years ago, and I said to him, he said, Brother Vaughan. He asked me, he said, do you know in Africa, we actually, in his church, and I mean, he's a Word of Faith man, he said, we actually don't have problems with people's pasts. They don't come for counseling. I mean, where did we get this Christian couch from? There's no such thing as a Christian couch. There's a Christian cross. It's the cross that separates this world from me. It's the cross that separates my past from me. It's the cross that separates everything I've ever done wrong from everything I can now do right. It's the cross that separates me from every ill, every pain, every shame, every regret, every depression, every bad thought. The cross cuts it away. I'm crucified to this world, and this world is crucified to me. And until you get that, until you meditate on that, you are going to continue to live in your own misery, which is your choice. Can we please get this? It is not your mother's fault. It is not your father's fault. Your father rejected you. Well, get over it. Hallelujah. Choose to not look back into Egypt like Moses didn't regret. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to go forward. I am tired of people saying, oh, you have no idea the bad life that I had. Well, I want to tell you something. It was pretty rough for a lot of people in the Bible, like Joseph, like Jesus, like Paul, like Peter. These people suffered their whole lives, and they never once leaned on an excuse from their past, because they said this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching out to this thing that is ahead of me. It is the love of God and the call of Christ upon your life. And if you're not serving God, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life, and you know it. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand up, because God wants to minister to us. I want all those people that went out on the streets tonight to come up and line up here on the front, went out there this morning. I want you to start. Okay, those of you that need healing in your bodies, who's got a pain in your body? Who else? Come, just come. Who had the healing touch today? Gee, I didn't realize there's so many of you. Who had the healing touch? Hallelujah. Praise God. If you need, did you go out today? I don't even know who you are. Who are these girls? Who are you? Tell me who you are.
Jean-Tien.
Jean-Tien.
Nice, yes. Name. Thank you.
French? Who are you?
Anne.
These girls have gone out for what?
It's long.
No, short. Quick one.
See? Okay.
Mike. From this yesterday morning to this morning.
All right. Yesterday morning, I was very depressed, like to the point of my lowest of my lowest. And I was like so depressed that it was like suicidal thoughts in my mind. And it was because of the person I'm in relationship with who's at that state of mind. And it's a lot of things that he's dealing with that I blame myself for because I contributed to it. So I had nobody to turn to because I cut off a lot of friends because of things I stopped doing. Stopped smoking weed, stopped doing all that. Like he said, it's true. So due to that, I had nobody to turn to. So as all that happened or whatnot, I was home and I was just like, man, I need a spiritual leader. Something kept whispering in my mind. You need a spiritual leader. And my little sister who's in somewhere, she told me, she was like, she saw me crying and she started doing psalms with me, which shocked me because I didn't know she was that spiritually intact. And as she was doing it with me, she did Psalm 102, which is a cry for help. And that psalm touched me real, really strong. And after she was done, she was like, Ann, call JT, which is Jean-Tien. She's like, call her. I'm like, she can't relate to me. Why am I going to call her? She's like, Ann, I'm telling you, something's telling me to make you call her. So long story short, I called her. She came to my house. She started speaking to me and preaching to me and really opening up her heart to me and letting me realize that I can't carry on the burdens that he came into the relationship with. And come to find out, it was psychological issues from young, getting abused and all that. So all that just played into effect. And putting 100% into man will kill you, period. And him putting 100% into me, the moment I failed him, he had no hope. And that's why he wanted to commit suicide. So I just kept praying, and I still kind of felt faint. I went to Walmart. I saw a boy named Lee. And JT's telling him, I'm going away to Bible school in Ohio. And he knows you were in the world. So he's like looking at us like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, I'm going away to Bible school. And he's like, but you know, somebody came up to me the other night, and it was Fran, I found out today. Came up to me the other night and was like, I'm praying for you. Somebody's praying for you. And he's like, they have a revival at a church. So last night, we're searching for the area, and we got lost for 45 minutes. We drove past here a million times. We got lost. So God made us stop at Quick Check, and somebody at Quick Check told us this is the church around the corner. So we got here, and when I walked through the door, I tell you no lie, I felt the Holy Spirit. Like, and I'm a person, I grew up in church, so I know when you feel it. I walked through the door, and the moment I walked in, I'm like this. And I'm a person that's very shy when I'm around like people that I don't know. Like, it takes a while till I get comfortable. And I was comfortable the moment I walked through your door. So I walked through your aisle, I sit down, and as I sat down, you guys were doing the appeal when everybody's up here. And I'm like, I'm not gonna go up there. You know, they don't know me. So I'm just sitting in my seat praying and I'm crying. And I feel the Spirit talking to me. I walk out and there's a man who tells me and my sister, put your hand out. And it's something with fire. And I'm looking at him like, fire? And he's like, just put your hand out and close your eyes. And I can't even tell you what he was saying. That's how zoned out I was. And I know I felt the fire. And when I walked out of here, we were outside in the parking lot, and the boy started talking about music, and I started speaking to him about what she was telling about music, which you listen to will affect you. And I start preaching. After that, I go home, I start praying. And the last I heard from my boyfriend when I was at Walmart, which is around 5 o'clock, he said, I'm going on a walk. In my mind, you know what that means. So I was like, I'm not going to call him. I left here, and something told me, don't call. Like, play test the faith. So I'm like, I'm not going to call. So I don't call. This morning I wake up, and when I speak to him, all he's telling me is, I don't want to hear about your God. I don't want to hear anything. He clicks on me. I'm like, fine. So I'm like, I don't care. They're doing evangelism. I'm coming here. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm going to do, because it's the reason why I'm still breathing when I had suicidal thoughts yesterday morning. So I came here, and they're doing the appeal. Like, Brian preaches to us about going out to minister, how to do it. He's training us. So after Brian's done, Brian did a prayer. And I come up, but first I was kind of nervous, I'm going to be honest, because you guys speak in tongues. And growing up in Adventist church, you don't know about that. So I come up and I'm praying the way I know how to pray, which is just speaking. And for some reason, Kiana comes up to me. From last night, she's been like coming up to me just saying inspirational words without knowing that she was actually helping me. So I come up here, and as I stand up, Kiana comes up to me like, do you know how to speak in tongues? And I'm looking at her like, no. And she's like, okay. And she just like disappears from me. And then I see Brian comes up to me. He touches me. And when he touches me, I'm looking at him weird because in Seventh Adventist churches, we don't do that. So it's like I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? You know? And he touches me, and I, for some reason, I just closed my eyes because I felt like the need to just close my eyes. So I closed my eyes, and Brian just starts speaking. And he's speaking everything I just told you that I was going through. And Brian doesn't know me from a hole in a wall. And he's telling me everything that I've been going through vaguely in my whole life. And it's like I knew it was the Spirit. And as I'm speaking, guys, and I'm praying, and honestly, I started speaking in tongues. And all day, I've just had a joy and a peace that I refuse to ever let the devil take from me again.
Hallelujah.